How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Tied at 66, 4 minutes to play. Hayward drives in the lane, kicks to Boris. Wide open, unguarded three. Got it! Boris Diaw!
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz, the 26th of May. News around the NBA, LeBron makes a seventh straight final. Who is the third best team in the NBA? And Boris Diaw and Jeff Withey, seasons in review. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. I think it sounds all right, but I'm hearing a little funky stuff, so I thought I'd try to fix it. I just did the drum roll without my hands, but usually I do it with my hands. I wonder if that drum roll was less good because of that. Fun little note, by the way. For those who are longtime Salt Lake sports radio sports fans, the original Salt Lake Buzz had a guy on the team by the name of Denny Hocking. He actually became a very, very close friend of mine and a roommate of mine and groomsman in my wedding. And he used to host radio shows with me. He is now pursuing his career as a coach, and he will come into town for Memorial Day weekend as a coach for the Tacoma Rainiers. And then the Rainiers coach is going up to the big leagues, and Denny actually gets to manage the series. So it'll be interesting. Steve Klauke would be the one who knows, but it might be the first ever former Bees or Buzz player to then turn around and manage against the Bees or the Buzz in Salt Lake City. So kind of a cool little note for you there that probably you didn't need to know. But anyway, hope you're good. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, my friends over at 4646 South State Street. Blake and the crew at Murdoch Hyundai, who have been I've really been nice enough to partner with Locked On Jazz and myself, and I've gotten to know them and enjoy it very much. I'm driving the Murdoch Hyundai Santa Fe right now. I guess it's just the Hyundai Santa Fe. Actually, I was playing golf 2 days ago. It's a tough life I have right now, I know, with a good friend of mine, and his daughter is about to turn 16, and he was driving his Yukon, and he came over, and he's like, let me look at this. And he was thinking, yeah, I could sell my Yukon. I could buy this and buy another car. And he's like, I like this. This is good. Drove him around a little bit in it. He certainly liked it. I got a note from Kyle Ireland, former Utah Jazz broadcast assistant the other day. Kyle said to me, I took you up on it. I just wanted to give you the thought you want to know. Someone hit me on the freeway a couple of days ago. I need a new car. So thanks for the sponsorship with Murdoch. And hearing about the pod, I decided to check them out. I ended up getting an Elantra this past weekend. They were really nice to work with and set me up with a great deal. So then he told me some other stuff about his life that you don't really want to know. So anyway, that's kind of cool stuff out there. Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. Depending what you're doing, if you're in the sedan market and you're, you know, a longtime Toyota Camry or Honda Accord, check out the Elantra. See what you can get for your dollar and figure out whether that's still just make your own choice. If you're in the SUV market, they've got the Tucson and they've got the Santa Fe, and the price numbers are just stunning. And right now, it's still mania, 25% off on all cars. All right, actually, the 2017 Tucson Limited, you get $8,000 off. The 2017 Sonata, you get $6,750 off. It's incredible. All right, let's do it. LeBron James goes to the finals for the seventh straight year. I hope that in the midst of Warrior this and that, and in the event, in the and in all the discussion of the, you know, parity or not parity, that we don't miss what's going on with LeBron. LeBron James has been to the NBA Finals 7 straight years with and just been to the NBA Finals with collections of talent that sometimes are awesome and sometimes aren't. I mean, I think that might be one of the things that has been forgotten, is that in these 14 seasons he's been in the league, there were plenty of runs that were difficult, like really difficult. You know, if you go back and when they lose to the Spurs and they find and they get through Detroit, you go grab. I mean, the night he drops 48, his starting lineup that night is Sasha Pavlovich, Zydrunas Ilgauskas, Larry Hughes, and Drew Gooden, with Anderson Varejao, Daniel Gibson, Donyell Marshall, Damon Jones, Eric Snow. I would have left too. Holy smokes. I mean, some of the rosters that he was given were just awful. And he's so incredible that he carried them. They remember, when he leaves, they become the 30th ranked offense and the 30th ranked defense. The other one on LeBron, in his now 12 seasons of playoff basketball, this year he's averaging 32.5 points per game in the playoffs. It's the second highest of any year since he was 24 years old in 08-09, when he averaged 35 points a game. He's carrying this team. That 08-09 team, by the way, hit the Mo Williams, Delonte West, Anderson Varejao, Zydrunas Ilgauskas, Daniel Gibson, an old Ben Wallace, Wally Zerbiak, Sasha Pavlovic. I mean, terrible teams. But LeBron is averaging 32 points a game. His assists are at 7. His rebounds are at 8. His steals are 2.2, which is the second highest he's ever had to last year. His blocks in the playoff are at 1.4, second highest he's ever had. It's just remarkable. He's shooting 56.6% in the playoffs, highest he's ever been. 42.1% from three, highest he's ever been. Effective field goal percentage, obviously, then 62.5, highest it's ever been. LeBron James' effective field goal percentage in the playoffs is 62.5. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. And I hope, I seriously hope everyone is taking it in. And don't get lost in the, you know, the greatest compliment to how great the Warriors are is that LeBron's not favored. I mean, maybe that's the most remarkable thing about these, what we have right now, is that these two teams have been built up to such a point that that we have forgotten that the idea that LeBron's not the favorite, it should be stunning to us. He's that great. Maybe they do win. We'll see. But he's at a different level right now. Here's the disappointing thing to me on the playoffs. Because of the injuries to George Hill, to Kawhi Leonard, maybe to Isaiah Thomas, I don't know who the third best team in the NBA is. I know it's not the Houston Rockets only because they lost to the San Antonio Spurs. Okay? And maybe, you know, and maybe they're the fourth best team. San Antonio's the third best. Houston's the fourth best. Utah and Boston are fifth and sixth. I don't know. But to me, that's the bummer of the playoffs right now, is I do not know who the third best team is in the NBA. Is it Utah? There's an argument. San Antonio, there's probably a better argument. Is it Boston? I don't think so. But maybe. You know, we didn't see them. You know, it wasn't as though that series was close with Isaiah. We saw the same thing. You know, you get the one game bump when your guy gets hurt and everybody steps up, and then reality checks in. Then talent and scouting reports and everything else kicks in. But to me, that's the one bummer we have, is I don't know who the third best team is. I don't know why it matters, but it's at least nice to be able to at least to put things into some concept of conceptually where everybody is. As and I, you know, from the Jazz standpoint, if you're trying to figure out, are you re-signing George Hill? Well, were we the sixth best team or the third best team? Dennis Lindsay talked a lot about that in the meeting we all had with him, that, you know, they really do look at where they rank in the Jeff Sagarin ratings, where they look at where they sit in point differential, where they sit in offensive and defensive ratings. And with all the injuries, the Jazz were the fifth best team in the NBA in net plus minus. Or excuse me, net rating of efficiency at 4.7, Toronto's at 4.9, Houston's at 5.4. Cleveland, though, was all the way down. Cleveland just, you know, didn't seem to have a very good regular season. And we'll find out here. We may find out that, I mean, we really may find out that if the Eastern Conference just isn't any good. Sagarin keeps his ratings being updated right now, has the Jazz as sixth, has the Clippers ahead of the Jazz, Cavaliers, Rockets, Spurs, Warriors. Maybe that's the predictor, which is one of his pure points, has the Jazz as everything is sixth. So maybe that's where the Jazz sit. Let's do our season in review, and then we'll do our 60DB national look for a second, which will repeat itself a little bit just because of some of the things I already talked about, just so you're aware of that. And there's a good, two interesting stories out about the Lakers that will be in the 60DB national take today. All right, so season in review for Boris Diaw. I thought yesterday on Facebook Live, I got a really interesting question, which was, who is the most valuable trade piece that the Jazz have? And after thinking about it a long point, I actually think it's Boris and an expiring $7 million contract. You know, I think it might have been David James yesterday tweeted out that if the Spurs suddenly are trying to get Chris Paul and they have to move Danny Green, you know, we can suddenly trade them Boris Diaw for Danny Green. What's interesting about Boris, I'm going backwards on this, by the way, but what's interesting about Boris is that you could actually not exercise his option, and then if I understand the rules correctly, if you're over the cap, you could then sign him to one of your exceptions. It's from a far less money, but and he would have to be willing to do that, but that is a possibility. All right, so summary on Boris Diaw, amazing collective presence, whose veteran leadership was vital, whose passing prowess was contagious, and who became, you know, more and more ready as the season went on. He closed the year well, had his career low minutes played. He had his lowest three-point shooting since 2004-2005, his career lowest rebounding rate. And yet, when it came to playoff time, he was pretty darn good. He was pretty darn good. He just did not shoot the ball well all year. I don't know if that was the calf injury from the very beginning, or what, but he shot 25% outside 16 feet during the regular season. Now when the fourth quarter came, he shot 49%, 33% from three, and he interestingly was a much better road player than a home player, and, you know, didn't shoot the three well at all, lowest three-point shooting since 2004-2005, then he hit the playoffs and he hit 43%. So he was quite good. His 108 playoff games, 44 playoff starts that he brought to the table, those were vital. And he was really quite good in the playoffs, and he was, I believe, had the best plus-minus of any Jazz player during the playoffs. So he's got incredible value to this team. What I thought is really interesting is as the Jazz build this new incredible basketball campus, one of the things they want is they want guys to be around, and they want them to spend time together. Well, one way you do that is you have Boris Diaw on your roster. I mean, truly, he's the kind of guy that everybody wants to be around. He's an interesting bird. He's got all these other interests. He's probably got basketball put in the right spot. I mean, late in the season, he almost got offended when people would imply he had other interests. Like, he's like, I might during the – not now. Not during playoffs. And yet, it's an interesting contract game for him in the future because that $7.5 million not being guaranteed is probably the single best trade asset Dennis Lindsay has in his quiver. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens. By the way, the home road thing was true in the playoffs too. His home road numbers this year are just kind of funky. In the playoffs, he shot 63% on the road and 72% from three. Crazy. At home, he shot 33% and 14% from three. I don't know if it's the altitude or... during the season, he was 36% at home and 14% from three. And on the road, he was 53% from the field and 35% from three. So during the season, he was 21% points better from three and 17 percentage points better from two. Maybe that's why some fans didn't quite get his values. And then he closed the year with a flurry. Jeff Withey, free agent, was very good every single time he ever stepped on the floor. I assume he'll get a guaranteed contract from someone, but I'm not certain of that fact. If money gets tight this year, which I think it's going to, there's just far less money on the market than people realize. He didn't get a guaranteed deal coming out last time, and I don't know that his status is that different than it was then. I think he deserves to get a guaranteed deal. I think he's proven that he can play and that he's got value and he does all these things. But I don't know that he gets one. I really don't. $1 million player last year. You know, the problem for him will be when teams get tight and if a good, you know, he's kind of a good team luxury as a veteran center. And the problem is if you've got a second round draft pick like Joel Bolomboy, and if you're near the cap, Joel Bolomboy's $600,000 and Withey's $1 million, and are you paying the extra $400,000? If you're over the cap, it's an extra $800,000 or $1 million for him. If you're a bad team, do you want Jeff Withey? Do you want Jeff Withey or do you want some second round draft pick who you're hoping is going to develop? The answer is probably you want the second round draft pick. So, you know, with these chances of landing on a team are probably only on good teams, and then good teams are near the cap. They have to decide they're not trying to lose the, you know, what that money is. It's a tricky little equation for someone like Jeff, and it's how he ends up without a guaranteed deal. But the Jazz obviously are very, very pleased with what they've got out of him. He's got to figure out whatever that very, how about discouraging and strange? Is that fair? I don't want to discredit anyone. Legal issue that popped up with the domestic violence claim against him, that's got to get straightened out for him. You can't sign a free agent without knowing what the story on that is. And, you know, there's a lot of different theories of what that could have been, but one of them that has to still be maintained is the possibility that it's real. You know, like you can't just dismiss something that significant out of hand. And so hopefully that can get straightened out for him, or it's going to have a huge impact. And straightened out that he's innocent, it's going to have a huge impact on his free agency. So that's your season review on Boris Diaw and Jeff Withey. Let's do our national check. Some of this will repeat. My apologies on that about what LeBron did, but I wanted to lead it also with where we are. I think you understand. For those who don't know, 60DB is a startup company out of Silicon Valley that's partnered with the Locked On Podcast Network. And so I'm producing some national content for them as well. And therefore, you know, putting that together for you. So that's what this is. All right, let's do it. Hey, it's David Locke with your 60DB look at the NBA. LeBron James makes the finals for the seventh straight time in his NBA career, despite being 32 years old, having played over 50,000 career minutes. He is having one of the most dominating playoff runs of his career. Seven straight finals is an incomprehensible run for him. It started when he was back in Miami in 2011, and it continues now in Cleveland with a different set of cast. This year, he's scoring 32 points per game in the playoffs, only surpassed by his 24-year-old season in 2008-2009. His shooting has never been better. He's shooting 56.6% from the field, 42% from three, both of those playoff career highs. And his effective field goal percentage, which weighs three-point shooting, is a remarkable 62.5% from the field. LeBron James has never been better in the playoffs, and he's doing it at 32 years old with 50,000 minutes on the tracks. No player has ever played this amount of minutes in his NBA career and carried his team to an NBA title. We'll see if LeBron can do that. Some other interesting news notes around the NBA. Lonzo Ball's dad continues to talk about the various workouts. Yesterday, Danny Ainge said that they will not work Lonzo Ball out for the Boston Celtics, but there was talk that he possibly would be willing to work out for the number three pick, Philadelphia 76ers, which was simultaneous to reports out of L.A. that there's a possibility that the Lakers might not take Lonzo Ball and are in love with De'Aaron Fox. So keep an eye on that. That could be the number one drama of the NBA draft. Interesting story out of Los Angeles. Byron Scott, in what's going to be a new book that he's writing, talking about how he was treated by the Lakers franchise and is upset in turn because he feels as though he was just kept around to keep Kobe under control, which is the ultimate duh moment. Nobody seems to have an understanding of that. That Byron didn't understand that. Everybody else did at the time. But for the long-term things of interest is that Byron Scott talks about D'Angelo Russell's frequently arriving at the practice facility only minutes before practice starts and then having to change the system so that forcing him to arrive earlier, and says, quote, "I don't know if his work ethic has gotten any better. Some of the people I've talked with in the organization say it hasn't. I just wish him all the best. The maturity level will catch up to him sooner or later when he realizes it's an honor and privilege to play in the NBA." So pretty damning comments about D'Angelo Russell, the young Laker emerging player. And Magic Johnson made it clear that Brandon Ingram was on a different plane than anyone else. I would say the only player that we would say would probably not move is Brandon Ingram. Though D'Angelo Russell, Julius Randle, and some of the other young Lakers who were supposedly part of the upcoming future don't seem to be top of Magic's mind right now. Steve Kerr, not clear whether he is going to return to the bench for the NBA Finals. In fact, sounds like he may not, says he's not quite ready yet. That is your Locked On NBA 60DB NBA breakdown. We'll have more for you coming up next week as we get ready for the NBA Finals. All right, guys, thanks for tuning in to Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.